Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go,
boy. Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour solar flare fiesta. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, New Orleans to New Jersey, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How are we doing, everybody? It's a fabulous Friday. It is so good to have you here on the show. It's a Target Demo Friday, and we are cooking. Boy, we got a show for you coming up here today. Very excited about today's show. Final show of the work week, and we're going out with a bangety bang. Corey Chavis is going to join us here on the show. CBS Sports Network, NFL draft analyst, former veteran defensive back in the NFL. Corey's going to join us coming up in 35 minutes from now. And I love the guys who went from playing the game to studying the draft within the game. I love their perspective. Corey's one of the best. We'll talk to Chavis coming up here at 40 minutes past the hour. Also, more draft analysis in the final hour of the show with Charles Davis, our good friend from NFL Network. He'll drop on by. As now we are less than a week away from the NFL draft. Next Thursday night is round number one in prime time. We'll also talk about the NFL schedule that came out yesterday. Who got screwed most by the NFL schedule makers? We'll do that coming up in 15 minutes from now. Also, should the Warriors be getting worried about their injuries? Alexander Ovechkin pulls a Mark Messier. And are the Browns actually thinking about drafting not one, but two QBs with their two first four picks? That's all coming up this morning on the show. Lots of NBA playoffs to get to, and it's a Target Demo Friday. So where else would you rather be except right here, right now? Any of that you want to jump into, hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You can always connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. And because it's a Target Demo Friday, Facebook is open for business as well, as it is every single day, facebook.com/TheDAShow. And you might want to go to either of those social media platforms because there is still residue left over from the beating Mraz took for his Tin Man at 12 outfit. While that might sound like a television segment, Tin Man at 12 is at 12 years old, Mraz's Tin Man outfit for Halloween, which we posted pictures of on both Facebook and Twitter yesterday, which lit the social media world on fire.
I'm on Twitter or Facebook right now.
I can't tell you. We posted that yesterday morning and discussed it. I'm telling you, I was still getting barraged by tweets and Facebook messages about that picture late into last night. I'm on the couch. I got the two TVs set up last night. I'm watching NBA playoffs in one, Stanley Cup playoffs in the other, flipping around in multiple games, and people are still hitting me up on Twitter and Facebook about the damn Tin Man at 12. I'm like, guys, we got to move on here. We got games to talk about. That's amazing. So let's start with one of those games. The Philadelphia 76ers take a 2-1 series lead by going down to Miami and putting the hurt on the Heat. This was a great game, tightly contested, tightly battled throughout, and then the Sixers pulled away late. But let me tell you, the Philadelphia 76ers right now, as they get Joel Embiid back, are legit scary. Because while they have all of this young talent, all of these young superstars, they're not showing the inexperience when they're all playing together on that floor that so many young teams go through. I mean, Joel Embiid stepped in last night after missing all of that time with the orbital fracture. Boom, 23-7. Stepped outside, popped some threes. Dario Saric, bing, bing, bing. From three, ripped, three, ripped, three, ripped. Oh, hello there, playoffs. Ben Simmons has the handle of a veteran, but he walks into a playoff game and a playoff series and just pulls off some NBA 2K moves, spin move here, explosion to the rack there, curling layup, nice dish here, no look pass there. You're like, damn, these kids don't look like kids. And it makes you wonder, is it the competition that they're playing, or are the Sixers this good this soon? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
On the left side of Embiid, he dropped it. James Johnson's on him. Joel shoots a three, and it's good. Joel Embiid stepping out and knocking down a three. The big man is back in a big way. He's got 21 points, three threes, Sixers by 12.
I felt like it was the time to come back, especially after watching how physical the game was, that game two. And I felt like I love this moment. I love being physical. I love attacking. I love contact. So I felt like they needed me in that way.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Sixers radio on the call. 128-108 victory on the road in game three. That was, of course, Joel Embiid following the game on 23-7-4 assists. And number one, how badass was Joel Embiid's mask last night? It was straight out of MF Doom. That thing was badass. It was like Batman, MF Doom, ski goggles. It was all awesome. And it falls on the floor. One of the Heat players tries to step on it to break it. And after the game, Embiid's like, don't they know I have 50 of those? This guy's awesome. This guy is so awesome. And he's awesome at basketball also. This Sixers team looks this good right now, partially because it's the Heat. Miami obviously lacks a superstar to keep up with that type of scoring, even though they have a good, deep team. They don't have a great team with a superstar to carry that type of explosion and that type of scoring. But they also have lots of long, big bodies to send at Ben Simmons. And that has not thrown Simmons off his mark or for a loop. When Simmons and Saric and Embiid are out there, they are so scary. They are so good. And I'll tell you, there is a very uncomfortable reality for the NBA staring it in the face right now. That the Sixers could move on to the second round here. They could play a very vulnerable Celtics team. The Sixers could find themselves in the Eastern Conference Finals against either LeBron's Cavaliers, maybe the Toronto Raptors, the number one seed, and Adam Silver would have to be talking about how the process works. And the process for the Sixers was lose on purpose. That's the only way they're this good. Sam Hinkie had it right the whole time, and I agreed with it. Now, I wasn't a Sixers fan. I wasn't a Sixers fan plunking down hard-earned cash.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
For tickets, for parking, for concessions, for season tickets, for merchandise, for anything. And having my team go, oh yeah, and by the way, pay all this money for all this stuff, but we're not trying to win, we're trying to lose. So I was removed from that part of the equation, which does not work, let's face it, in professional sports, because we are investing money with the obvious inclination you're trying to win and put out a decent product. The Sixers were saying, we're not trying to win. We're not trying to put out a good product. We're trying to lose. We want to lose. It's the only way to get great. But the reality is, it worked. Look at this. When Simmons and Embiid are on the floor together, two number one overall picks that they got because they stunk for years on end, and they tried to stink, they've built themselves into an NBA playoff powerhouse. It's worked. Losing on purpose, Tankapalooza, has worked. It is working. It is the obvious incarnation of that theory, of that philosophy. And now go ahead and tell the Suns or the Bulls or the Mavericks or the Nets, no, you don't want to lose on purpose. You want to try to put a competitive team out there. So that what? I get less ping pong balls? So that what? I get a worse draft position? Because the only way the Sixers are this good is if they lost on purpose for years on end. And it took them swinging and missing on Jahlil Okafor. It took them swinging and missing on Nerlens Noel. It took them having Michael Carter Williams and other high-end draft picks not become superstars to finally hit the lottery balls that made Embiid and Simmons become superstars and land in their lap. It's the inconvenient truth, if you will. The Sixers this good because losing on purpose worked, and they are legit good. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. God, I love that Embiid mask. It's so great. It's so great. I mean, it is straight out of a Marvel Universe movie. It's so awesome. And Embiid is so fun. And it's so good to have him back. When we come back here on the show, NFL schedule is out. When the schedule comes out, it is always, to me, one of the funniest sports moments of the calendar. Because you have the, yeah, enthusiasm over simply an announcement of when and who will play. Followed up by the, we got screwed! So when we come back, who got screwed the worst with the NFL schedule release? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
We've got a new permission granted podcast, which is out as we rehash, analyze one spicy moment. The Death by Salsa challenge that we took, myself and Robbie Rosenhaus, 1 week ago. We break it all down, and Mraz takes us inside his 180 on Robbie Rosenhaus and now admits that he wants to do a radio show with Robbie. So download that. Also, Bogus and Bilotti, the Killer Bees on Side B. It's a BBB. And I loved the sound. I liked hearing it. Those guys breaking down one spicy moment, as well as Bilotti's jury duty. That's this week's PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, the show about the show within the show, available on iTunes, as well as the website, daoncbs.com.
Is that so?
That is so, Robbie. That is so. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later on in the show when we'll answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. It's also a Target Demo Friday, so send us what you got going on today as you listen to the show, where you're at, how you're listening, or what your plans are this week and as you get it on. So send that to us either via Twitter, DA on CBS, or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow, and we'll read them later on in the show. I thought yesterday's schedule release was interesting, and I don't normally find it all that interesting. I know that this is for football fans a way to get excited about football when there is no football right now being played. I understand that. I just can't get involved emotionally on finding out when teams play. Schedule release just doesn't do it for me. But I get it. It's a way to celebrate football when there is no football. And might get your juices flowing a little bit. Oh, this is a good road trip. Oh, I'm circling this game to go to. Oh, me and the fam want to go to this. Me and my buddies want to go to this. I get that. I thought, though, that yesterday, specifically with two uniform releases, two teams changing uniform designs, and the schedule release, to me, said something larger about football. And it was, for the first time I can remember ever, and my fandom with the NFL goes back to the mid-80s, it was the first time I remember noticing the NFL feeling wobbly. Here's what I mean. Basically, since the 70s, you could argue since the advent of the Super Bowl in the late 60s, the NFL has only been on an incline. It has only gained in popularity, gained in influence, gained in financial might. Organizations of the NFL don't decrease in value. They only increase in value. And they went from tens of millions of dollars a couple of decades ago to now billions of dollars just for a franchise. Television ratings, even during the erosion of ratings because of cable and internet, have always remained robust. The television money is crazy, what networks pay to broadcast the games. And these owners have been conditioned to believe we can put anything out there and the American public will eat it up. And I thought yesterday there was two market corrections that I noted on the same day, which told me, finally, the powers that be noted, we've got to do something different because we're losing our stability, or we are losing our edge, or we are losing our overwhelming influence. Number one, the Thursday night package. Let's face it, we have all made fun of the Thursday night package for being bad football on short rest between two bad teams with ugly uniforms. And when you see the Thursday night slate this year, it is to me noticeable how much better so many of the matchups are. We do get a Jets and Browns. Yikes.
I am the epic fail.
But we also get that followed up by Vikings, Rams, Eagles, Giants, Panthers, Steelers, Packers, Seahawks, Falcons, Saints. These are all games we've never seen on Thursday night football. So why is this? Because Fox said, we'll bid on this package and we'll spend a ton of money for Thursday night football. But it can't be a joke anymore. We'll spend all the money you want, but it can't be a joke. And this is why one of the Fox execs said at an open house last week, there will be no color rush on Thursday nights. Now, the NFL pushed back on that. But what Fox is telling you is, we want the package. We just don't want it to look like slop. We want the package, but it can't be a punchline. And so Fox wanted to put Peyton Manning in there. Fox wanted to put Brett Favre in there. Fox doesn't want color rush uniforms. Fox wants good games. And the NFL acquiesced. The NFL has now said, okay, we don't have to do color rush on Thursday nights. And okay, Fox, we'll give you better games. Because they realized they can't just shovel us slop and we will eat it up like oinking pigs. We used to do that. And now the NFL, because of ratings hits the last couple of years, and because they're watching the NBA close the gap, and because there's more people in America going, I don't really like the violence of the NFL so much anymore, or football in general, or, you know what, that kneeling during the national anthem doesn't really do it for me, or, you know what, a lot of domestic abusers in this league not really doing it for me either. The NFL finally feels vulnerable and has to change some things. So I noted that yesterday. Also, the Jaguars and the Dolphins changed their uniforms yesterday. This is notable. Why? Because it marked the exact moment they were allowed to change them. The NFL has a rule. You can't change your uniform more frequently than every 5 years. 5 years ago, Nike bought a package for 5 years to outfit the NFL. You know how much that package was? $1.1 billion.
Like Wu-Tang said, cash rules everything around me. You're straight cash, homie.
Nike spent $1.1 billion for 5 years to outfit the NFL. And Nike said, and we're going to put our signature on your uniforms. And the NFL said, yeah, sure. You just spent $1 billion on it. You're cool, right? I mean, we're cool. And we can sell anything. Whatever you guys make, it's going to sell because we're the NFL. This is 5 years ago. Really, six. And so the NFL allows Nike to alter the Jaguars' uniforms into something that looks like a cartoonish nightmare. Two-toned helmets, arguably the ugliest helmet in NFL history. All that wackiness on the Jaguars' uniforms, the Dolphins totally revamp and look like they're something out of Any Given Sunday. As soon as the clock expired in 5 years, both those teams went back to the drawing board and said, no. So yesterday, the Jaguars unveil a completely stripped-down version of their uniforms. No weird crest, no third colors, no two-tone helmets. And it's totally stripped down and basic. Totally wiping away what Nike had done. And the Dolphins go, yeah, we need this to look like our old uniforms. And so can you do away with the dark blue? Because we never really had dark blue and more orange and more aqua so that we kind of look more like we used to look like. Basically saying, yeah, Nike's ideas didn't work. This was the moment their time expired. Also, the Browns and the Buccaneers both have heavy, heavy rumors surrounding them that as soon as their 5 years are up, they're going to change back as well, which was two awful Nike redesigns. I say this not because you probably care so much about uniforms, but because it shows and symbolizes the NFL realizing we can't just do anything anymore and it sells. We have to be smarter in our branding, what we put out there. The schedule has to be better. The prime time has to be better. The uniforms have to be better. The kickoff times have to be better. Just this week, they announced they're going to move up the kickoff times on primetime games either 5 or 10 minutes, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it shows that the NFL is looking to improve its product to us. I say this because 5 years ago, 10 years ago, it didn't matter. Roger Goodell walked into that room with 32 owners and said, "You guys are all billionaires, and we can do anything." And the cash machine just continues to churn. So, Nike, make whatever jerseys you want, and we can start games whenever, and the schedule can be crap, and we can play color rush games. And it finally came back to bite them. This week has been market correction week in the NFL, and it couldn't have come a day sooner. Thank goodness. When we come back here on the show, Corey Chavis on the NFL Network, on the NFL Draft, rather, from CBS Sports Network. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
Well, here's the deal, DA. Back in the day, I was kind of a living legend in the rent-to-own industry.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Target Demo Friday. Hit us up with what you're doing as you listen to the show on either Facebook or on Twitter. We'll read them later on in the program. Remember, full episodes of the show available on iTunes. Simply search DA and CBS and iTunes, and you'll find them. Subscribe for free. Leave a nice rating and a comment, and that will help other people find the podcast as well and the show as well. Also, full audio available on our website, daoncbs.com. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Everybody, there's a quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all at geico.com. People really excited about Tin Man at 12. Mraz's post, Mraz's picture, dressed like a Tin Man at 12 years old, looking like a 35-year-old Ralph Cramden. Looking like Mike from Mike and Molly, just in silver face paint.
Look like the 85 Bears!
Looking like Kevin James in Grown Up 7. While his sisters, who are only 3 and 5 years younger, are at his knee like Lilliputians. The picture went viral, went crazy yesterday. And so many of you tweeted at me, I didn't think it could have been as good as you described or as bad as you described while listening on the air. Then I went and I looked at it at work or later in the day, and you're right, it's even worse. Don has tweeted me a number of times from Western New York. DA, more Mraz Tin Man photos, please. That's all that matters. God, I can't stop laughing. It's the gift that keeps on giving. I've never laughed so hard, DA. And has sent pictures of sci-fi robots that look just a little bit like Mraz as a Tin Man at 12. Mraz, what was the fallout around your household yesterday when you went home after the scuttlebutt which broke out surrounding Tin Man at 12?
Just a lot of fear and anxiety from my sisters that they were going to be next in the firing line. And basically, once the savages that are out there in the social media world got done with me, they would switch their focus to them and how they looked. I assured them I think they were off limits and there was too much to be focused on with me. And I have reports coming out of West Babylon, Long Island, that Tin Man mask I'm wearing in that picture still exists, has not been thrown out, and is on a shelf somewhere in my parents' house. This, according to, I believe, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, the Tin Man mask does exist, so I am hoping to recover it this weekend with the hopes of bringing it in next week to see how I would look like it at 30 years old.
There's been a lot of controversy surrounding whether that is a full mask or half a mask and a silver face paint. We need clarification on this because, as Bogus said, you can't tell where the nose starts and the mouth ends. Danny on Facebook, I kind of feel bad for Mraz there. Aaron writes in, that middle schooler had a totally swag costume, but the Tin Man ate it.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
George writes in on Facebook, that made me laugh out loud. He looks like the Jiffy Pop we used to put on the stove, about to burst.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Matt writes, that must have taken about 300 rolls of tinfoil to wrap that Tin Man. And Chuck really won the day with a comment that had us all dying laughing as we left the studio yesterday. Quote, when the Tin Man got his heart, he also got diabetes.
Oh, yeah.
so wrong on so many levels. The picture is available on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDA Show. The comments continue to roll in days later. Facebook.com/TheDA Show. Halloween 1999, forever documented. And what is also great, Mraz, is that your cousin Zach, apparently, after hearing how much this blew up, just kept sending you old pictures of yourself in compromised situations and costumes growing up.
Yeah, I basically now have 7 new pictures in my phone. I put one last night on my Instagram where I just look like a fat, husky mess with this big spiked hair. I don't know what I was thinking. And I might roll them out once a Thursday now for Throwback Thursday and for like the next 7 weeks. I have bad acne. I have weird hair. There's a lot going on with me. Just
whose
a
fault
lot.
Is that?
I'm sloppy. I'm very sloppy. It's a wonder I didn't meet a chick until senior year of high school.
Well, I'll tell you this. Take comfort in knowing that everybody is awkward at that phase in life.
That awkward?
Well, I mean, you're a certain level, a cut above, if you will.
I basically had paste in my hair. I wonder how I went bald, accelerated.
But, you know, when you look back on photos from when you're 10, 11, 12, there's a certain cutoff point where you stop being cute and just going, you just start becoming very awkward in every picture. And I can only imagine how kids that are right now 12 or 13-year-olds deal with this. I mean, because all of their pictures are on social media. Luckily for us, the only pictures that we had back in the day when you were going through your really awkward phase are actual still shots taken by somebody on a phone and having it developed. And so you couldn't really spread that around the school or the town unless you got it, I suppose, Xeroxed and then spread around town. But now, awkward phase is splashed out there for everybody.
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
Which just means that we need a filter for Snapchat or for something else that's called Tin Man at 12. So that everybody can look like an oversized, overweight, Tin Man giant at 12 years old. The NFL draft is less than a week away on Thursday night. We'll finally have it, first round action. Corey Chavis is a draft analyst for CBS Sports Network. Of course, he also played in the league for a number of years. You can catch him leading up to the draft at Inside College Football Draft Special and tune in on draft day to Path to the Draft QB Special and that other pregame show, Tops Draft Special, on CBS Sports Network. And he joins us this morning on the show. Corey, good morning.
How are you doing this morning, man? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing great. So good to have you here. I was excited when I heard that we had you here on the show. And so lead off with this. You are general manager John Dorsey of the Cleveland Browns. You have the number one and number four pick. You are allowed to do whatever you want to do. What are you doing at number one and number four?
Well, I mean, I don't know about the number four part. I mean, I think it's going to be, he'll have a lot of different options at that pick because I think he could potentially trade. But
well, yes, he has a lot of different options. We know that. But what are you doing? What, if you are the general manager of the Browns, what are you doing at one and at number four?
Well, number one, I would take Bradley Chubb because he's the top player in the draft. And then at number four, you're saying, like, what would be my next pick at that spot? I guess, again, it would come down to who was still left on the board. But potentially, I guess, at that point, Saquon Barkley, maybe, if he's still there, I guess that would be the next pick.
You're not taking a quarterback with either the one or the four?
Well, you have Tyrod Taylor. If you take a quarterback at that point, I guess basically what you're going to do is take the number four pick in the draft and then have Tyrod Taylor sit on the bench for a year. If you're going to take a quarterback, then I think you take that number four pick and package that back a couple of picks to take one of the quarterbacks maybe later in the first round. So I might take number four, trade back, let somebody else take that pick, and then take the best quarterback in the draft, Lamar Jackson. So that might be another option.
Okay, so this is fascinating. This is why I love to have you here on the show, Corey, because every mock draft says that the Browns are taking a quarterback at number one. We've seen some mock drafts say they would take a quarterback at one and number four. And
well, I like that now. I do like that.
You do that like that.
I do like if you say, not because you necessarily need one, but just because you could control the draft with the leverage. I don't think that's a far-fetched theory at all if you take one at both, and then somebody has to come play ball with you. But if you're not going to go that route, you're taking just the best players available. If you still end up wanting that quarterback, maybe move back after you've taken one of the best players in the draft at Chubb. I think he has so many options, it's kind of a no-sell proposition.
Huh. Okay. Corey Chavis joins us, CBS Sports Network. I haven't heard anybody say Lamar Jackson's the best quarterback in the draft, so I'm very intrigued by this. Why do you say that?
Well, I think he was the best quarterback, the best player in college football the last 2 years. I mean, he was very dynamic. And I mean, you can start trying to parse out games where somebody didn't play well. You can say, first of all, he's the most durable quarterback. I mean, what games has he missed? And then on top of that, I mean, you could go into statistics. I mean, it outweighs everybody's by a large margin. But I think he has the most upside. Sure, he has some boom or bust potential, but his upside, I think, is without question higher than the rest of the quarterbacks.
So there's a lot of question marks surrounding Lamar Jackson that maybe he wouldn't be able to convert into a true pocket passer in the NFL, that you could be a great runner and passer in college, but it wouldn't work in the NFL. You feel comfortable saying that he could transition into that in the NFL?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that there's been examples. I mean, if you're just looking at it from a mobility standpoint and saying that he's just a runner, I mean, there's some accuracy issues. I don't think you draft Lamar Jackson with the idea that he's going to be a 65-66% passer. I think you draft him with the idea that he can get on the edge, he can be on the move, and be able to do some things, but still operate in the pocket. I think a lot of it is in terms of what he's done in school. He's been very accurate in between the numbers, in between the hash marks in school. I think he's going to have to continue to get better driving the ball outside the numbers. I think that's where it has to, you know, improve and not losing so many throws during the games. But, I mean, he had a lot of drop passes. A lot of these quarterbacks in his class dealt with that. So I think his completion percentage numbers, particularly this year, are a little bit skewed.
Bradley Chubb, you said, is the best player in this draft. Is it close, or do you just circle him and say, that guy's going to have the best NFL career in this upcoming draft?
Well, I mean, I look at him as a Justin Houston type. I think that Justin Houston, I don't know necessarily if he'll ever. Now, Justin Houston went over the 20-sack plateau in his career since he's been in the league, but and I think he has even more upside in terms of consistency. You know, when Houston came out, he had questions about the motor, and that's why he fell in the draft and some other stuff. With Chubb, there are no questions about that. And then you have the power and the fact that he really expanded his pass rush repertoire this season and took it to the next level, two-time team captain. I mean, I just think that he has a very high floor. So even if he doesn't turn into a 15-sack-a-season guy, I think he's going to give you 10, 11 sacks year in and year out and be a guy in contention for the Pro Bowl.
Do you worry about Josh Allen's performance against the Power 5 competition he faced?
Not necessarily the Power 5 competition. I went to go see him in person. Just for example, last year, I was shooting the Holiday Bowl when they were playing BYU. At the end of that game, has a chance to go down and win the game, throws the game, win an interception. 18 of the 21 interceptions that he threw in school were when they were tied or trailing. So some of those situations are situations where, for example, somebody like Sam Darnold has been pretty good in. And I think that's something that potentially maybe it is the talent around him where if you get better talent, he comes through in some of those situations. But that's hard to project when you've seen somebody in those types of moments not come up big.
Corey Chavis, draft analyst, CBS Sports Network. Now, you can catch him leading up to the draft at Inside College Football Draft Special. And on draft day, Path to the Draft QB Special and Tops, that other pregame show, Draft Special, comes your way on CBS Sports Network. You can follow Corey on Twitter as well, at Corey Chavis, for the latest on the NFL Draft. It's always good to catch up, buddy. Great stuff this morning, man. Thank you.
Oh, thanks a lot for having me. I really appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed the draft.
No doubt about it, we will. Corey Chavis joining us this morning here on the show. How about that? If he was running the Browns, Corey Chavis said he would draft Bradley Chubb number one And if Saquon Barkley was there, number four, and let Tyrod Taylor be their quarterback, or he would trade out of number four, trade down in the draft to snatch Lamar Jackson because he's the best quarterback in the draft. Well, I thought I had heard it all with mock drafts and draft analysis. I had not heard that. So Chavis brings some noise, some chitter chatter that we had not heard before. I like it. Wow. Wow. Is that so? When we come back, NBA playoffs. Should the Warriors be worried about another round of injuries? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
I will take Bradley.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.